This is the World Cup. Sound of football.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the World Cup Sound of Football. With me, Chris Oakley, once again, are Terry DeFallon and Graham Sibley. Welcome, Terry and Graham.
Hello.
Broadcasting live from London, not from South Africa, but don't worry, we are working to change all that. We've managed to get Robbie Earle's phone number. So, Terry and Graham, we are gathered here today to witness the coming together of South Africa and Uruguay. And if it's South Africa and Uruguay, that can only mean one thing. We've come full circle and everyone's played one match each. So, Terry, South Africa played with a considerable air of joie de vivre in their first match against Mexico, roared on by that amazing home support, while Uruguay were almost at the other end of the scale. They were sort of solid, cautious, happy to defend in depth, one might say. So all that taken into consideration, who will win out tonight?
Oh, that's a good question. I have absolutely no idea.
Bit of a clash of styles, I guess.
Yes, it is a bit. I'm not quite sure whether South Africa have a particularly discernible style. We do know that Uruguay will I guess defend and hold, but I don't think we didn't really see anything of Uruguay and France, because it was just such a really, really horrible, stalematey, crappy game, basically.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that perhaps that South Africa will allow Uruguay a little bit more space to play, and then we might see a little bit more of them. And I suppose you'd have to say, on form and pedigree, that Uruguay would win the match, but it's that we said in the preview that South Africa would get into the get second spot, so they've got to win a game at some point. So I guess this is the one to do it.
Right, so you say we? I mean, you two. I kind of disagreed, but I had to go along with the majority.
Well, seem to recall that it was it was collective responsibility. So you can't duck out of it now, chum. Sorry, agreed that South Africa would finish second, and so therefore South Africa will win the game, won't they, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. It says here, he says, signing a decree to not ever disagree with the majority verdict in the future. We shall see, I guess. Graham, which players from both sides can you see having perhaps the biggest effect on the outcome of the match? Who should we perhaps be looking out for, in your opinion?
I think obviously for Uruguay, I think it was only really Forlan who was providing the sort of like the exciting the excitement, sorry, for Uruguay, and obviously he's been doing that in the league and the Champions League as well. Sorry, not in the Champions League, in the Europa League.
Europa League, yes.
And I think Uruguay are going to have to go into this game thinking that they're going to have to win this one if they're going to go through. So I think they will play a bit more expansively. I mean, like, remember they were playing France, so you can forgive them for playing a bit defensively there, but they will have to come out of their shell a bit more in this game. South Africa, obviously, with the crowd behind them, I thought their performance was one of the performances of the first round of fixtures.
Very inspiring, wasn't it? Yes, all that support.
It was. I mean, like, and it sort of gave you a bit of hope for the tournament as a whole, which is no bad thing. Obviously they'll be looking at players like Pinar as well to sort of be their creative influence in the midfield. But they attack really well, and their goal was lovely against Mexico.
It was
a lovely sweeping move and finished really, really well. Chris, you have a go at the goal scorer's name.
Oh, what, the South African goal scorer's name? Was it that Shabalala bloke?
It was Shabalala, yes.
I think he is. If ever there was a man suffering from irritable vowel syndrome, it was probably him. They've got this. Pereira's got them drilled into this very quick passing kind of style, hasn't he, really? I mean, they seem to be doing it well. Yeah, and they seem to be using the flanks quite heavily, unless I kind of misinterpreted that. So, Uruguay being as defence, playing quite solidly as they were kind of packing the midfield and the defence against France. So, I guess.
I don't think they're going to get as much space as they got against Mexico, though. So
no. Mexico got quite an open style as well, haven't they?
Yeah. So it's you do sort of think they're going to have to work a bit harder for the ball in this game. So I mean, I'm going to probably side down on side. I think Uruguay might be a bit too strong for South Africa here. Even though I said that that South Africa would go through.
Yeah. You're agreeing with me now, aren't you? Backtracking.
No, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it might be a draw, actually.
Terry, at this stage, any thoughts on the possible score?
No. I will add just very briefly that I'm looking forward to seeing if Luis Suarez can do something in this second game. He was disappointing in the first one, but he's a very exciting player from Ajax.
Yes,
he scored. Was it 49 goals or something
like
that?
He said that or a billion, wasn't it, I think?
It may as well be a billion goals. He scored... Yes, that's it. Let's scrub the record books and replace it with 1 billion. He scored 1 billion goals in the Dutch Eredivisie and still Ajax finished second. But he was a bit nervous, perhaps, on the first occasion. He's quite young. He spent an awful lot of time having Forlan chuntering in his ear, trying to sort of encourage him. I hope that perhaps that he will improve there. I mean, if they're playing those two strikers, you know, together, then you know it could be an exciting, you know, high goal scoring game. Even though we haven't had too many of those. So with regards to a score, I'm going to say that even though South Africa will finish second in this group, they are going to lose 2-1.
Ooh. Okay. Curious.
Because, you know, I mean, predictions, whatever. I think Uruguay are a good side, and I think, you know, I think they're going to beat them. But, you know, I just, the romantic in me wants to think South Africa will find a way through. But, you know, tonight is a night for hard heads. Yeah. And the hard head says, "Nah, Uruguay, this is Uruguay's game," in all truth.
One thing that springs to mind, actually, that I think I read somewhere in a newspaper over the last day or two, is that South Africa, somebody said that South Africa, their current team, aren't perhaps built for physical kind of gruel and kind of, you know, they're playing the rougher sort of style of football. And of course, as we know, Uruguay, with their reputation, well, not that we've seen that much of it so far in this World Cup, but if they do play true to form, then we might see some fireworks. But not that I wish to kind of, you know, rub my hands and hope for that to happen, but you never know. But you mentioned Ajax there, Terry, and there's this, they've got another Ajax player in the Uruguay squad, Nicolas Lodeiro, and he's a midfielder, another young. And I'm not sure we saw that much of him either, but I guess if he can link up with his teammate, and you've got Forlan and Suarez up front, as you say, there is a lot of potential there to score goals. I guess it's going to come down. South Africa have got this Yaman Booth, hasn't he? Because you wrote the 32 for 2010 article on South Africa, didn't you, Terry?
Yes, I did. Matthew Booth, he's more of a talismanic figure now in the squad as opposed to in the first team. He's not been selected for the. I don't think he played in the last game. He's not playing in this game. So yeah. I may have been slightly off beam in his importance when I wrote that blog post. No, he's not playing.
Well, hey, I in my TV preview on Some People on the Pitch, only at the start of this week, I was baiting Graham there about the fact that Nicholas Bentner, and this was on the morning of the match between Denmark and Holland, saying, well, you know, Bentner's not going to be playing, he's injured, so he's not going to win the Golden Boot, Graham. And then I turned the TV on and he plays for 70 minutes. I mean, you write in that article, Terry, from that far, you didn't stand a chance, frankly. But,
we said, we all agreed that Drogba was never, ever going to play in the World Cup at all, and yet there he is with
his broken
arm and everything.
Plaster cast on, yes.
Yeah. We really are quite shit at this, aren't we? It's
I think we should probably give up now and have an early night. Indeed, have an early confession.
Yeah, but this bit is the one that is the bit where people laugh at us for making shocking predictions.
It's purely on the strength of our part ones in these things that we could get a comedy award for podcasting.
So far, I've managed to predict that South Africa will win and Uruguay will win in the last 5 minutes. I'm really pleased with myself.
It'll all come out in the editing.
The bookie's friend, editing. Terry DeFellin. So, I think the start of the match is rapidly approaching. It is, as I look at my clock, 7:23 p.m., so we've only got a matter of minutes before it starts. For the record, I'm going to go for a 1-1. I think both teams are capable of maybe scoring maybe one, no more than that, and also probably letting in one as well. It sounds a bit boring, but, you know, the way the competition's gone, and indeed Group A, I think there's every possibility of that.
Going on what the tournament's been like so far, then, you know, no one wants to predict a goal fest, are they? Actually, the last time these two met in South Africa, they ground out a 0-0 draw 3 years ago. So,
well, if that doesn't put the kibosh on it, then nothing will.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right, yeah, cool. I agree as well. I think it's going to be 1-1. There you go. I see. I predicted a home win, an away win, and a draw. There you go. Because I'm just such an
bastard. I am.
I'm such an expert. I mean.
Okay. Well, let's compare notes at half time then, and see how we're getting on. But for now, here's a musical interlude, and we'll be back for our half time chat very shortly. Welcome to part two of the World Cup Sound of Football. We're watching South Africa against Uruguay, and the score at half-time is 1-0 to Uruguay. And I think, everybody, those of you that were complaining about the noise of those vuvuzelas, I think we've found the answer for you. In two words, it's Diego and Forlan. Tremendous hit. What was it, about 35 yards out, I think I saw somewhere. Amazing goal.
Yeah, big deflection, though.
Deflection. Sorry, I just wanted to add that. Nearly forgot that slight addendum. It was deflected.
Yeah, it looked fantastic at the time, and I thought, bloody hell, that's a fantastic goal. And then when you see it in replay, as it loops in off Mokwena's back, you sort of, maybe it wasn't so great, but, you know, a goal from outside of the area, yes, we should be praising it, shouldn't we?
Yeah, somebody on, I think, I don't know if it was the BBC site I was looking at earlier on, said something like, there you go, there's the answer. There's nothing wrong with the ball, you've just got to loop it off the back of some defender who's standing in front of you, and that's all your problems sorted. But no, it was good to see it fly in, but I can't help but feeling that it's kind of not exactly typical. I mean, although both teams have been both trying hard, both been slightly ineffective up front, so it's kind of gone slightly against the grain, but they are battling away. Terry, did you sort of see either side kind of edging in front? I mean, forgetting the scoreline, in terms of who looks the more dangerous?
Well, I was impressed with the way South Africa were playing in the earlier part of the game. They were zipping it around nicely, lots of possession, weren't doing a great deal with it, and Chabalaba was, I thought, was wasteful. Before that is his name. Particularly on the second time that he took a shot, and Pienaar was just you know, on the overlap, and would have, well, I mean, would have certainly been in a much better position to do something more interesting with the goal, rather than just, you know, Chabalaba's rather sort of like, you know, a wasteful long range shot. So no penetration. But I thought, well, you know, this isn't the same South Africa team that we saw in the Confederations Cup last year. This is and I didn't see the opening game, so it's the first time I've actually seen South Africa proper. And I was really impressed with them. But then suddenly, you know, Uruguay just took control of the game, and I think they've played really well and really deserve it. I think Forlan's been superb, and the other fella, what's his name?
Him, Suarez.
In the midfield. Not Suarez, no. Oh. Pereira. Alvaro Pereira. I like him as well. He's good.
And Graham, I mean, the one thing I spotted actually for South Africa, continuing on that theme, is that they don't restrict themselves just to, say, one style of attack. They seem to be, to my mind, they were playing it down the wings. They were trying to pass it through the middle. They even tried a couple of long balls upfield. It's quite an expansive way of playing, which is to their credit, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly don't mind mixing it about a bit. I suppose they're aware, of course, that you know, to play a pressing game at, you know, even at the moderate altitude that there are, is going to be hard work for teams. So I suppose it does sort of like lend itself to playing a more open, expansive sort of style of play. But you know, they've certainly got the players that are capable of doing it, and they seem able to string passes together, which, you know, which is more than what you could say for England at sometimes.
It goes against South Africa's form of, say, about a year ago or something. They just couldn't seem to string a couple of, well, just couldn't even get a win for love nor money. And as has been noted in a number of places, I think your man Pereira has managed to kind of get it all sort of working a lot better as far as the team's concerned, and they're playing better football. So shall we tentatively suggest that it's perhaps only a matter of time before possibly they can get to an equaliser, or do they perhaps lack perhaps a little bit of technical skill up front to get it?
I think they've got to change their formation, I think, to start with, because they haven't had a lot of chances, especially like in the closing 20 minutes of that half. I think there was one sort of header, wasn't there, which was a bit more, you know, a bit more speculative than anything else, than a real opportunity. But I can't really remember too much more
penetrative.
Yeah, apart from that, really. I mean, can you?
Well, not a lot, not really. But I mean, one thing I was going to say, Terry, again, kind of continuing on from that, is that against Mexico, South Africa were actually in front for most of that game. And now that we're going to see whether they're going to be any good at sort of coming back from behind, and they are going to have to adjust their tactics, is there any kind of way forward that you can see of maybe breaking the deadlock, but equalising? That's what the phrase I'm looking for.
Well, I think they will have to try and do something about their approach. Yeah, I mean, Graham's right. There was just that single header from the front man that as any kind of evidence of their penetration, and it's not too good so far.
They look pretty solid at the back, though. Ironically, haven't they? South Africa look more than capable of sort of. And
yes,
deflection that's the conceded one.
You could say that they were unlucky because of the deflection, and nevertheless, they're in the situation that they are in, so they are going to have to find a way past and over or around that Uruguay defence, and they haven't really demonstrated any conviction thus far. Maybe some changes at half time. We'll bring in maybe another striker extra man in the midfield, because I mean that doesn't work. They're going to have to do something vaguely interesting, perhaps a different formation or just a different approach. But it's difficult on the basis of the first half to see how they're going to find a way through, unless of course they can get a set piece and somehow manage to contrive to keep that ball down. Or at least try and see if they can deflect it off someone's head so that it can dip into the goal, which seems to be the only way anyone's ever been able to get that ball to come down is to bounce it off someone's head. I'm not saying that this. I don't want to get into ball hate here. I'm not saying it's anything to do with the ball. I've got nothing about that at all. But you know. The balls have gone up this tournament, and I'm sure there's a combination of reasons why it is.
Well, I wasn't going to laugh, but seeing as you started, Graham, why not? That's just
couldn't let it go by.
You couldn't know. The balls have gone up, and you just couldn't let it go, could you, Tim?
Carry on up the World Cup, everyone. I should point out, actually, I have an admission to make, and this shows our real professionalism and an eagerness to do our research for the game. Having picked out Booth before the game, and it turns out that he's not starting, I was talking about the wonder starlet of Uruguay, Ladero, and as the game started, I just checked and found out that actually he was sent off against France, so we won't be seeing anything of him in this match. So stay with us, everyone, for the latest up-to-the-minute breaking news. Anyway, in terms of Twitter comments that they've been sort of coming up, there hasn't been that much. I think everyone's been kind of muted a little bit.
There was a huge rush of what a great goal that was, and no sort of apology of saying actually it was a huge deflection, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was one or two people that went, oh
yeah,
oh, I see.
It wasn't that good after all. I liked Kiquette's comment about Forlan managing to keep his shirt on.
His shirt on. I was going to say that very quote. Well, you've read my mind. Yes, indeed. Yes, one for our female listeners there.
Yeah, and Gary Andrews' Sky Plus box broke, but he seems to still be watching the game, so I can only assume he's got it resolved now.
I was going to say, he was certainly celebrating when the goal went in, so well done, Gary, on that one.
Yeah.
But yes, there it is, South Africa leading by a goal to nil. Looking ahead, I should say Uruguay leading a goal to nil, I do apologise, but looking ahead, South Africa have got France in the next match, so that doesn't focus their attention, nothing will. Uruguay, of course, have got Mexico in their last game, so you'd sense that they will probably kind of cancel each other out a bit. And so working on that basis, Uruguay will get another point. Yeah, I think if they can hold on to this one goal lead, or indeed get another goal, then that's them probably set fair. But it could all come down for South Africa to a potentially vital match against France. France are playing against Mexico tomorrow. I reckon at that point we should adjourn then, lads, for the excitement that undoubtedly will be coming up for the second half in a few moments' time for us. So here's another musical interlude, and we'll speak to you again anon. And so to part three of the World Cup Sound of Football podcast for tonight. South Africa eventually lost 3-0 to Uruguay. Final sort of score sheet shows Forlan having scored two and Alvaro Ferreira scored the other. And it was a bit of a cruel result, wasn't it? In the end, really, in the sense that Alvaro Ferreira's goal came right at the very last knocking. So it was kind of a bit of a false scoreline. But I think probably the best team won in the end. Would you agree, fellas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that the first half, the way it was panning out, especially after Forlan scored the first goal, was that Uruguay looked pretty much in command, and we were looking for South Africa to sort of up their game a bit, and they only slightly increased it. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, I think it didn't seem to change anything, really. Any changes that he made at half-time, just you know, it... Uruguay seemed in total control, really, in the second half. South Africa, again, failed to sort of like get any real opportunities on goal. They had a couple more in the second half than they did certainly in the last half of the first half. But, just a bit disappointing, really. I mean, I suppose, really, South Africa were already showing a lot of energy and drive, so they couldn't really up their game anymore.
No, indeed.
And I think that's what really did for them in the end, really. I mean, I think they just reached the end of their ability and came across a very organised Uruguay side the second clean sheet in a row, and obviously...
Yes, organised, I think, a very good word to use. And but, Terry, for all that, it was a game not short on incident. Plenty to sort of review there. I mean, we had, I think, early on in the second half, we had Suarez ending up with a mouthful of blood and then having his mouth stuffed with tissue paper and God knows what else, and penalty appeals and all that. So not actually a bad game on retrospect.
No, it was quite a tasty second half, wasn't it? And, yeah, they gave Suarez a bit of a treat, but in fairness, Suarez was quite happy to point out at every single turn that he was being given treatment. And the penalty was unpleasant, but a penalty. And you'd have to say it's difficult to argue against the fact that there was going to be a goal-scoring opportunity there. I mean, there wasn't really anybody else standing anywhere nearby. I don't know what Graham thinks of that, but for me, a penalty and probably... if I remember the incident correctly, a red card as well, because it looked like a clear goal-scoring opportunity. And, that was a great shame. I don't know, is that something that are we agreed on that? Can't argue with the referee's decision?
You can't. I mean, it's cruel, yes, but... he brought him down inside the six-yard box, no one else around. Yeah, he was definitely going to score a goal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There was contact, and I think that your Uruguayan made the most of it, but there was contact. Yeah,
he swung out a leg, didn't he, and caught the...
He has bought the foul, he's drawn the foul, as they say in basketball parlance, but nevertheless it was there to be drawn. So, and that's how professional footballers do these things, and... and Forlan put the penalty away with great aplomb, given how long he had to wait.
Well,
that was outrageous. I think that's outrageous. I think you've got to get your guy on. You've got to get him on now because I'm about to blow out for the penalty, and that's it. And I had to get him dressed and put change his nappy and put on his shin guard
finish his bowl of Weetabix as well. Didn't he?
I was going to say, in terms of Twitter comments, I think the best one easily of the second half was from Off the Post, who said. Shudder to think what the parents of that replacement goalkeeper would have been like getting their son ready for school when he was a lot younger. That was, I mean, it must be about a 5-minute wait there while he tied up his shoelaces and then put his scarf and his mittens on and all the rest of it. I thought, grief, how long is this taking? I mean, back in the old days on BBC One, if they had a 5-minute spare like that, they'd put cartoons on. I don't know why they don't sort of do that anymore, really, quite honestly. But there we are.
I'm sure ITV would have cut to a break anyway.
Oh, they just do that whenever they feel like it anyway, from what I can make out.
Boom, boom.
Oh, yes. So bit of a wait, but on he came, and that was 2-0, well taken penalty by Forlan. And like I said, the sort of late goal as well, just to sort of finish it off. But going back to, not sure if it was the previous podcast or maybe the one before that, you were suggesting, I think, Terry, that we may see some favourable refereeing towards South Africa in the competition. But I think tonight it was relatively good, I thought, pretty fair.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. The referee could have fudged that big decision. Mm. And perhaps in 2002 he might have done. Because he could have just sort of like said, oh no, that was a dive, and booked Suarez for the dive.
Yes.
And conveniently, you know, I mean, you know, these kind of things, you know, on such fine margins are decisions made. But no, I mean, I have to say, thus far, from what I've seen, the standard of refereeing is good.
Hmm.
I think
Suarez looked a good proposition, didn't he, Graham? With the likes of him and Forlan looking pretty useful, how far do you think Uruguay could go in this competition now, after having seen them in two games?
Well, I have been thinking about it. The only sort of caveat I put against it is the fact that against France, they didn't really threaten too much. So I don't think we should really run away with this sort of idea. Oh, wow, look how good Uruguay are. And yeah, I mean, as I said before, South Africa looked like they'd reached the limit of their ability. I certainly see them as a second round team. If they can get to the quarterfinals, yeah, why not? But after that, then it would have to, I think things would have to fall favourably into place for them to actually sort of progress into the semis.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Forlan and Suarez, the three goals tonight kind of flattered them a bit. To my mind, they do still look a bit like a team that did qualify via a playoff in the South American section, but they've not got that far in previous World Cups beyond like the first knockout round, but well, I suppose there's a potential there they might go a bit further. But I think I'm with you on that one, Graham. I'm not sure they'll go much further than that. But I think we're all in agreement, actually. Those of you who may have been watching the match at home will have been watching it on BBC, and perhaps you share our frustration, shall we say, that the standard of the commentating, let alone the football that was on show, it was quite incredible, the patronising qualities to which they plumbed the depths. I think we're all agreed that they seem to be genuinely surprised that Diego Forlan's quite a good player. Are they still watching old videos of him when he was at Man United or something?
I mean, their audience will not necessarily, the main bulk of their audience will, the main bulk of their audience will only ever watch the World Cup. They won't watch any kind of football in between. That's the truth. A significant amount of that will only watch, or probably only watch English football. And yes, may well not have, they won't have Sky dishes. They won't know about Diego Forlan. They won't know about La Liga that much. They may have known a little bit about it from the Europa League if they'd watched five, if they bothered watching the match. So you can understand them pitching their commentary towards their audience, but that doesn't forgive ignorance. I mean, this is an opportunity for them to say, well, actually, Diego Forlan went on and had a really glittering career with Villarreal and Atletico Madrid. He's a fantastic player. He's matured into the kind of player that Sir Alex Ferguson saw in him. But instead they went, oh, my word, he's really good, isn't he? Which is rubbish.
Has nobody updated my notes for the last 5 years? No, it's great. I mean, it's maybe the only thing I can think of is that, I mean, as you mentioned quite rightly there, Terry, I mean, he's been playing for Atletico Madrid and been having a whale of a time this season at times, scoring goals, fun and all the rest of it. And I can only guess that BBC are thinking, well, you won't have been watching that nasty ITV lot. You only ever watch the BBC for your football, don't you, everybody? But there are some people that are a bit better informed than that. So I'm surprised they had to kind of show this kind of surprise at how good he was. But anyway, there we are. Just an observation. Send all your complaints to BBC's publicity office or whatever.
Yeah, there was an interesting article today in the Scotsman that I read and that has been retweeted quite a lot on Twitter in the last hour and a half. And I think if people are on Twitter or just on with an internet connection, just to track that down, because it's a very good appraisal of the level of coverage on BBC and ITV.
I'll drop a link on the blog post for this podcast.
Good, cool, yeah,
that would be excellent. Good man. I think the clock on the wall is telling us it's time for an early night. So just before we wrap up, first of all, I just need to correct something. At the end of the last podcast, I did actually give out the address for Mostly Football, and if I'd got it wrong, I'd just like to correct it. The address you need is mostlyfootball.podbean.com. mostlyfootball.podbean.com. Apologies all round for that. We, however, would like you to go to our new site, footballfairground.com. For that is where you will see the umbrella stand, if you will, of all our projects, the Onion Bag, Some People on the Pitch, and so on and so forth, The Sound of Football, lots of stuff for you to check out there. So go to footballfairground.com from now on, if you'd be so kind, and you won't be disappointed. Prior to that, I can tell you that we will be back next in a couple of days' time for the next England game, England against
Algeria.
I couldn't remember if it was them or Slovenia, but yes, England v Algeria on Friday. We will be covering that match. Hopefully you'll be pleased to hear. Do join us for that. Thank you for listening to this particular podcast. For the time being, it's goodbye from myself, from Terry, and from Graham. Speak to you again soon. Bye bye for now.
Bye bye.